All right. I am excited to be here today. Lindsay and Julie Phillips are great friends of ours. We had an annual event that we did at a church that Vicki and I were at, I believe, for 12 or 13 years in Pleasant Hill, Missouri. And God laid on my heart very early in student ministry. I believe it was the first year I was there. My pastor sent me to an event at a little church in Ozark, Missouri called James River. It's not really little. It was a church that really invested in me as a student minister. And I learned so much from going to some of those conferences that Scotty Gibbons was putting on. And it changed the trajectory of a lot of what we did in our student ministry. We looked at ourselves as being a small church with a big church mentality. And so I modeled some of the things that we did in student ministry to be able to reach the students in our area. And it led to a connection with Lindsay and his music, and he came in. He was our worship guy every year. He brought in a band, and later as he was mentoring young musicians and vocalists, he came, and we just had the opportunity to really get to know them, and we love them dearly. If I'd have been thinking, Lindsay, I would have brought a photo of when you were young to put up on the screen. That would have been awesome. And I was thinking about that during worship this morning. I was like, darn, but I don't want to interrupt what's going on up there to give them a photo of that, but that would have been kind of fun. So we have some history together. We had a great time last night visiting with them and having a great meal. And so we just love them dearly. I know that you are blessed as a church to have them. God has blessed him with great leadership, vision, and he's poured into my heart, and I had him come up to the church where we're trying to put vision into. So greatly appreciate it. And I greatly appreciate Pastor Duncan inviting him. He's never heard me speak before, so that's a thing. So I told him, if you really want to hear how I sound, what I do in ministry, I actually have a YouTube channel. It's called the Engage Channel. So that's a shameless plug there if you'd want to take a look at that. My wife and I, we have been involved in ministry for a number of years. Obviously, he said over 30 years. That's very true. And so he gave a great introduction, so I won't go into all that. But I do want to introduce my best friend, the love of my life, Victoria Mosier. My wife and I, probably our early great adventure, she'd never flown in an airplane before when we got married. And God sent us to be missionaries in the Dominican Republic. So the first time she got to fly, we flew over the ocean. And I grew up, I was kind of a city boy, and she grew up in the country in Higginsville. In fact, when I first met her, I thought she was from Arkansas because she had an Arkansas accent from living down in College of the Ozarks with an Arkansas roommate that changed the way she talked. So she doesn't talk like that anymore, but she was my little Southern belle when I met her. And so we flew there, and God just transformed our lives from that opportunity. And so we continue to do things like that. Well, I want to jump into our message this morning. And so you may be wondering why the ladder is here, and we'll find out about that in a minute. But, you know, God wants to give you a leg up, so I'm not very tall. I might need a ladder, just saying. So that's a thing. So I'm going to talk this morning about the power of determination. I believe, I have been fasting and praying for this church. After your pastor contacted me, I wasn't sure what I was going to preach on, and I kind of waited a little while, and so the week coming in, just before, I guess it was last Sunday, I really started digging into the Word, and I was like, Lord, I really don't know what direction you want to take us. Begin to speak into my heart, what it is you want me to do, and this message began to birth in my heart. I believe God wants to do some miracles in your life today, and he's going to do them as we step out in faith, so get ready. Get ready for what God is going to do. I believe that God wants to move by hashtag might, hashtag power, and hashtag strength. Because he is a God of might, a God of power, and a God of strength. And he can change your world today as we enter into this relationship with him in a greater way. I am amazed a lot of times by history. There's a man by the name of Thomas Edison. Probably know from being in middle school, probably as you're growing up, going through that, hearing a little bit about this guy by the name of Thomas Edison. Well, Thomas Edison, he came home from school one day, and he had a paper from his teacher, and he said, Mom, the teacher said that I need to give you this note from her. And so as she began to look at the note, she began to weep. And he didn't know what was going on. And so she began to read the note to him. Her eyes was filled with tears. She began to read out loud, "Your child is a genius. The school is too small for him. and it doesn't have the teachers and the facilities and the ability to be able to teach him. So please teach him yourself. Well, many years later, after Thomas Edison's mother had passed away and he had invented many great things and had so many wonderful experiments that he had performed, and he's a genius. I mean, we know this to be true from the things that he did. And as he was going through some stuff in the old house, and he found this note that was in a drawer in this desk. And he pulled it out, and he began to unfold it, and he began to read it. And as he read it, it caused him to weep. Because the note said this, this folded up piece of paper says, "Your son is addled," meaning mentally ill. "We won't let him come to school anymore." Thomas Edison wept for hours. And then he wrote this in his diary. Thomas Alva Edison was an addled child that by a hero mother became the genius of the century. There is nothing more daring than faith and strong determination. And this morning, we're going to venture into this road, into this story of looking at how we can be a people of determination and a people of action. In this life, we need people who will come alongside us because we are better together. Church, we are better together. We need people who believe in us, people who will dream for us, people who will pray for us. I have to tell you that I grew up in a pastor's home, and the prayers of my mom and my dad influenced my life to the greatest degree. I have often said jokingly, I never could enjoy living in sin because I always felt guilt. Anytime I would do something offhand or bad as growing up as a boy. I mean, I grew up in an era, and maybe I don't look as old as you think I am, but I grew up in a time where it was brimstone and fire messages, and we had evangelists coming to our church. My dad was a pastor of a church, and my dad lived out what he believed in, and it impacted my life. And I had a mother and a father that prayed for me, believed in me, spoke faith into me. My dad said, "You will go to college." And so it was settled. I was going to go somewhere, and I went to College of the Ozarks, and that's where I met my lovely bride, Victoria, that God had prepared for me. Because let me throw this out to you, students. Prepare your heart for that future person. And what I mean by this is I prayed for God to give me a godly woman, and he gave her to me in college. You see, I waited through my high school years. I kept myself pure. I wanted to be with the right person, and God brought her into my life. She was going through a time of change in her life, and God was doing some wonderful things, preparing her heart, and it changed both of our worlds as we entered into this relationship together, because we are better together. I want to read a story to you this morning out of the book of Luke, and I hope that it comes to life for you. Now, the Gospels are amazing to read, and as you go through the Gospels, you will find that they tell many of the same stories. And as we would look into the Gospel, we find that you know, God anointed them, but they all wrote from their own perspective. But I love reading out of Luke's Gospel as he talks about the power of determination and how a few good friends changed a man's life forever. Can I tell you, we need some good friends. We do. Now, the Marines say we just need a few good men, okay? We need good people who will stand with us, fight with us, no matter what's going on. I don't know about you, but I need friends that got my back. You know, I need people who aren't talking about me behind my back, but people who are there for me. You know, they hear my heart. I can share my story. We can be real with one another no matter what we're going through. And I don't feel like they're rejecting me when I'm talking about what I'm going through. They don't go, "Oh, you shouldn't talk like that." No, they let me speak from my heart, and then they encourage me in what I'm going through. Well, let's look at Luke's Gospel, because I believe, here's the thing I believe. I believe that God has prepared your hearts and lives through some messages that have been happening here in the church, because I've listened in on a few of the sermons from Pastor Duncan, just to get a flavor. After God gave me the message, I wondered what was behind it, and I know there's some things that he's preached to you of late that's going to connect this morning. So look with me in Luke's Gospel. It'll be up on the screen. I'm going to read to you. It says, "One day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were sitting there, and they had come together from every village in Galilee, from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. I love that. The power of the Lord was there with Jesus to heal the sick. And that's in Luke 5, looking 17 through 26. And he says in verse 18, "And some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat, and they tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. And when they couldn't find a way because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and they lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, 'Friends, your sins are forgiven.'" Now, I don't want you to miss this. When Jesus saw their faith. Say that with me. When Jesus saw their faith. Friends, Jesus wants to see faith welling up in you. And how does he see it? He sees it in our action. Okay? So follow with me this morning. He said, Friend, your sins are forgiven. Now, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they began thinking to themselves, "Who does this fellow think he is? He's speaking blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Well, Jesus knew what they were thinking. He asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Did you know that God knows your thoughts?" Did you know that? Yeah, he does. He reads your mail all the time. He knows what you're thinking, just in case you didn't know that. Jesus knew their thoughts. He says, "Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home." And immediately, say that with me, immediately, he stood up. Now that's a cool story. Immediately, he stood up in front of them, and he took the mat he'd been lying on, and he went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Can you imagine? This man who's been paralyzed, they've seen him in town all the time, okay? He's probably hanging out at the city gates. He's begging for money. He's got to have a way to take care of his wife and his kids. You know, he's got to put some food on the table, okay? They didn't have Social Security back then, folks. Wasn't available, okay? They hadn't played into a, 401k yet. You know, none of that was available. The people of the city would help take care of their own. And so the man was there begging, but his friends had an idea. They thought, if we can get this cat to Jesus, some things will change. Now, here's what I want you to look at today. Here's the theme as we're looking. When Jesus saw their faith. Okay. This morning, I want to unpack two primary ideas from you. Number one is determination. Determination. Because when Jesus saw their faith, it changed the way that he perceived them, because he knew they had brought him and they were not willing to let anything get in the way of what God had planned to do. The second principle here that we're going to look at this morning is action causes Jesus to see our faith. Now, James tells us that apart from faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is seen in action. The evidence of our moving out and doing something within the context of the relationship. Now, don't get me wrong this morning. I'm not telling you you're saved by works, because we know that that's not true. Paul teaches us that we are saved by grace, just as if you had never sinned. Okay? So we know that to be true. But we also know, if you read through the book of James, and if you haven't read it lately, I'd encourage you to read through that book. That book will encourage you to do something great for God. God wants us to step out in faith. Okay? Now, if we were to unpack this thing and look at what happened before this story, I'm just going to briefly touch on it, okay? In the book of Luke, we find, first of all, in the beginning of chapter 5, Jesus starts calling out his disciples. Now, he finds these guys with a boat, local fishermen, and he's like, "Hey, guys, can I jump on the boat and get a little ways from the shore?" He's losing the natural acoustics of the area. Okay, he's a pretty smart guy. And so he's using that so his voice casts into the shoreline, and he's speaking to the people and teaching. So he gets through, and he looks at these guys and goes, "Hey, throw the nets overboard and you're going to catch some fish." Well, these guys are cleaning their nets and listening to Jesus while the teaching's going on, I'm sure. And they're like, "Lord, we fished all night. We didn't catch anything. But because you say to do it, we'll do it." You ever notice sometimes we're a little reluctant when God asks us to do something? You know, God's kind of winking his eye like, you just wait to see what's going to happen. And so they did, and they caught such a great catch that they had to have their friends come and help them, and there was too many fish. And what happened is Peter, he fell down before the Lord. He fell down, and he said, Lord, move away from me because I'm a wicked man. And Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And so he called him out, called the people who were working with him. And we move a little further forward. Then we find this story of Jesus in front of a leper. And this dude's like, hey, would you do something for me? And Jesus did something that was unheard of in his culture. And this connects with what we're going to look at this morning. Because when the guy had a need, you see, lepers were outcasts. Nobody got close to a leper. In fact, they were supposed to yell unclean, okay, so that you would know to go to the other side of the road to stay away from, because they were afraid of catching leprosy. But Jesus did the unthinkable. Not only did he heal him, but he touched him. And there's significance in that. You know why? Because Jesus cares about your emotional needs. If you are broken today and things are not good in your life, can I tell you something? He wants to hug you. He wants to hold you. He wants to make things better in your life. It may still be turmoil, but you will know you're not alone. And Jesus wanted that man to know he was not alone. So in this story, we move forward to this, to now we've got these men who are pressing in, and they've got their friend, and they decided that they were going to do something. Now, the reason I read from the book of Luke is because if you look just before this, as we're talking about this leper, it says this in verse 16, but Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place and prayed. Why is that important? Because prayer unlocks the keys of heaven. Church, prayer is a key that you need to get a hold of. If you're not a person of prayer, you need to become one. I'm just going to be real with you this morning. I have some liberty today. You need to become a person of prayer. If Jesus, who is both God and man in this moment, knew he needed to get alone with God, and you could look through the book of Luke, and he talks more about Jesus getting alone to pray than any other of the books. You don't believe me? Just start going through there, and you'll find story after story of Jesus getting alone with his heavenly Father. We can find it even when Jesus was being baptized. In that moment, the Bible says that when he was praying, the heavens opened up. So here he is in his baptism. When he was praying, the heavens opened, and we hear the Father speaking, you are my Son, and I love you, and I am well pleased. Do you want to hear God's voice speak into your life? Become a person of prayer, and you'll become a person with purpose and direction in your lives. Now, we could look through many stories. We could see how he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane earnestly. He prayed when he was on the cross, Father, forgive them, in Luke 23:34. We could see that his last prayers before his death as he committed his spirit to the Father in Luke 23:46. And we could see how he prayed after the resurrection as he blessed the bread in Luke 24:30. Prayer precedes the divine. Jesus moved out. Because look at what it said there. It said that the presence of the Lord was there for healing and for miracles. Because prayer precedes the divine. God wants to do a divine thing in your life today. Now, here's the thing. Now I want to give you Randy's amplified version of this story this morning. So allow me a little liberties. I might throw in a few names here. You won't find them in the Bible. That's okay. Okay, this isn't heresy this morning. We're just trying to give it a little flavor. Okay, got to have a little fun with God's Word. Is it okay to have fun in God's house? All right. Now, just know I'm a youth pastor, so I do crazy things sometimes. So that's why sometimes I have to have props. So I want you to look with me this morning. We're going to think for a second. We're going to move a little faster. We're going to think about this story a little deeper because I want you to get it in your heart and your spirit what's going on here because God wants to do something through you today. Now, this man's friends, they heard Jesus was in town. Everybody knew about Jesus. Now, he's this cat that rolls into town, and he's praying for people, and people reach out, and they touch the hem of his robe, and they get healed. And there's revival breaking out, and the religious people don't know what to do. They're just beside themselves. They're thinking he's going to mess up their game, okay? They've got the temple. They got this thing locked in. And here's this man that shows up, that's preaching with power in a way that nobody'd seen before. It was shaking up the people. And this dude by the name of Andrew, he said, hey, did you hear that Jesus was in town? Yeah. So he's talking to John. He said, you know, I heard he's going to someone's house and he's going to be preaching. And he says, you know what? I think we should take the opportunity to take our friend Thomas over to this dude's house, and I think God will heal him. What do you think? You know, just come a couple of farm boys, you know, they're going to get out their John Deere probably and haul him over there, but they're going to get him there somehow, you know, because we're going to get her done. So they are excited. So they show up to Thomas's house and they start telling him what they're going to do. They're excited because something's going to happen. They just know it. They're just so excited. Now, his wife Mary's like, you guys are just rattled in the brain. You crazy. Ain't nothing going to happen to him when you take him over there. You know, sometimes we're just thinking things have been this way this long. Not going to change. Okay, I don't know who this cat is you're talking about, but boys, this is not a good plan. They're like, they ain't listening to her. Like, come on, Thomas, we're going to take you over there. We're going to go see this man by the name of Jesus. So they showed up at the house, big spread. But they start walking around the house, and they're trying to find a way in. And they're looking, and they see Jesus through the window, you know, so they're peeping in. You know, they weren't peeping Thomas, but they were peeping in at Jesus, and this place was full of people. It was so packed they couldn't get through the front door. But you know what? You know, old farm boys, they don't let nothing get in the way of nothing. They're going to find a way to get in the house. So they're walking around the house, and one of them spies a ladder, and they go, hey, I know what we're going to do. We're going to carry Thomas up on the roof. We'll use this ladder, and we'll get him up there, and when we get up, we'll just open up the roof. Well, it sounded like a good plan, but Thomas is looking at him like, boys, I do not know if my State Farm's insurance will cover that. I think that's outside my deductible. And they're like, don't worry about it. Okay, we get you to Jesus, your life is going to change. You hear what I'm saying? So they got up on the roof, so they had faith that would tear off a roof. Do you have that kind of faith, folks? Do you have faith that'll tear off a roof? Because God's looking for a people who's got a faith that'll tear off a roof. They weren't going to let anything get in the way of a miracle. So they got up there and they start tearing the roof apart. You know, they probably had some crowbars. They probably had that in the John Deere that they brought him up in. And so they got him there and they got some ropes and they tied it to the bed he's been sleeping on all these years. Probably smelled a little funky, I'm thinking. But anyway, they're lowering him down through the roof. And so this shaft of light comes through the roof. Everybody's looking up. They're going, what is going on? I'm sure the man that owned the house was not very happy. I'm just saying. Okay, there was no happy, happy, happy going on with the rich man who owned the house. I'm just saying. But they're looking up here, and this shaft of light comes. They're so excited because Jesus is looking up at him. They just know something's about to happen. And Jesus looked up at him. And he recognized faith. Can I tell you? God's looking for some good old farm community people who have some faith to believe God can do anything. Because he's a God of might and power and strength. And nothing can resist his power. Nothing. And so they lowered him through the roof. And the Bible says that he came down and he's in their midst. And everybody's looking at Jesus like, what is he going to do? Is he going to pay for this? I mean, come on now. I mean, this dude just tore open my roof. I brought you in here as a guest, and these people are tearing the tiles off my roof. And I'm sure that that rich Pharisee was counting the dollars it was going to take to make that thing get fixed and was wondering, will his State Farm insurance cover this? You know, just kind of wondering. So anyway, they got him down there, and Jesus said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Now, these religious folks are going, hashtag, who does he think he is? Hashtag, he is not God. Okay? And Jesus is like, hashtag, I know what you're thinking, and you're wrong. Which is harder for me to do? To say, your sins are forgiven? Or to say, pick up your bed and walk. But so you dudes know who I am, because I am the Son of Man, I'm going to do both. I'm just going to show you. I'm going to do both. And he says, pick up your bed and go home. Now, his friends could not keep up with him on the way home. It didn't matter how fast that John Deere was going. He was on the move. He was getting home to his wife Mary and his kids. He was excited about what God had done in his life because his friends had a determination that they were not going to allow anything to get between them and God. Hashtag determination. It's the stuff dreams are made of, folks. Now, Thomas Edison had a lot of dreams. And he had a mama that believed in him, even though them smart people at school thought he was addled, mentally ill. Okay, I used to work with the mentally ill. Sometimes I still do. Just saying, you run into them, it's all right. And I loved working, I know that sounds kind of wrong and funny at the same time, but I loved working in that profession. I did that for 28 years, and I'd meet him in the church too, so could be one among us, and that's okay. Because you know what? God created us all. And he has purpose. He has place for you in his kingdom. And it doesn't matter how messed up people think you are in the head, God has a plan for your life. Determination. Determination changes everything. It will change everything. It says, I'm not going to let anything get in the way of my miracle. It says, I don't care what them religious people are saying. God has something for me. And I'm going to press into his presence. I'm going to believe his word is true and everlasting, and that he is still the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and there ain't nothing my God can't do. Amen? That's a good place for a praise break. I'm just saying. Come on now. Now, Jesus knew how to touch God. Now, we all know he was both God and man in the flesh, but he prayed. And I want you to capture some things here as we begin to draw this together, sew it together, okay? Is that what I know is that Jesus got alone, he prayed a lot. And what I know is that Jesus listened to his Heavenly Father a lot. And what I know is that, you know, when Jesus was tempted, you know what he did? He didn't run off like some whiny little, I don't know, girl or whatever, you know, no offense. He didn't do that. He used the word of God against the enemy. Well, how do we do that? Well, you have to hide God's word in your heart so that you won't sin. Amen? So you need God's word in you. And he prayed this prayer for you and I. He prayed that you and I would become one with the Father as he was. And that's a mic drop moment right there. He prayed that we'd be one with the Father, just like he was. That is what God wants. He wants this unity. He wants this connection. What I want to ask you this morning is, what are you doing? What are you doing inside the context of this relationship between you and God? You know what we do? We have a tendency to focus a lot on the natural more than we do the supernatural. We start thinking about all the things that would prevent this from happening. We think about the obstacles instead of thinking about possibilities. You know, when I've managed people, one of the things I used to often say to them, if you're going to bring me a problem, come with a potential solution. Because I want you to think outside the box. You know, I don't want everybody coming to me to fix their problems. I want them to think about, what can I do different? You know what we do sometimes? We get stuck and we do the same thing over and over again, and that's insanity. Thinking we're going to get a different result when we do the same thing over and over again. And we are guilty of that individually. We've been guilty of that at times in the church. And God is saying, get outside the box and look at what I can do if you'll start listening to me and follow me in the Spirit. What happens is when we do this, when we begin to listen to that voice of negativity, which, by the way, is a spirit, in case you want to know. Now, here's something that just kind of jumped out at me recently as I was reading. As the Bible says that God did not give us a spirit of fear. I want you to think about that for a minute. He didn't give you a spirit of fear or a spirit of timidity. But he gave you strength and power and a sound mind. Now, I don't know about you, but I put a little gasoline on the fire for me when I thought about that. I don't have to let this spirit rest on me, make me afraid what other people think. Praise God. We live in a culture that pushes back against our faith like never before. I mean, like never before. We are seeing a significant shift in the United States. And if we, the church, don't stand up and live out a real faith, because people are looking for the real Jesus, okay, in you, not just your pastor or your deacon board. He's looking at it from you. People are looking at you. You are the Bible that they read. You're the instrument through which God can flow. And so we need to be a people of passion and prayer and determination so that we can shake up this world. The Bible tells me that the disciples turned the world upside down. Has God changed? I think not. My Bible tells me He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. All right. That was free. Determination. Hashtag action. Faith tears the roof off. I like them boys. I like good old farm boys that they don't let any obstacles get in their way. You know what? Duct tape and baling wire can fix anything. I'm just saying. It'll get her done every time. I've seen some pretty inventive things done on farms before. I didn't grow up on a farm, so my wife, her dad was kind of a quasi-farmer. He raised some cattle, and man, I used to get some of the best beef from him. Oh, I miss that. I digress. But I learned things by being around farm people, because they may not have some PhD or whatever, but they got some farm smarts. You know, in the city, we call it street smarts. They know how to take care of a situation. They don't let stuff get in the way because they're going to make things happen. God is looking for a people of action that has a faith that'll tear the roof off a house to get somebody to Jesus. Because you know what? We as the church are called to do anything that it takes short of sinning to get people to God's house and get them saved. Amen? We the church, JAG Church, has been called with a very specific mission and a commission from God. And that is to bring in the lost to Jesus Christ. So do not let fear well up in you. Do not let religiosity well up in you. Don't let anything get between the vision that God has for the church and what God wants to accomplish. Because we're going to have to take some blinders off and open up our eyes to new principles and new possibilities of what God will do when we are a people of determination and a people of action. You know what? We can sit back on our laurels and hope that things are going to change, or we can do something. And I have a feeling there could be a few farm people out here that know that. I might be wrong. I mean, I'm in the middle of Kansas, but this is a farming community. We got any farmers out there? I'm just reaching. Maybe I'm wrong. We don't have any farmers. Okay, we got a few farmers in the house. So, awesome. All right. So, we need to be a people of action. Action is this. I mentioned this earlier. James says that faith without works is dead. Can I tell you? It is time for us to stand up for what we believe in, to take action. It's time for us as the church to put the devil on notice rather than him putting you on notice and making you afraid that if you speak up, people are going to talk bad about you. I was telling this to Lindsay last night, and I mean this sincerely, and I know I struggle with this at times too, folks, but I'm getting old enough to where I'm caring a little bit less about what people think about what I have to say. Is anybody at that stage in life you're kind of getting old enough to where you're not so worried about? Yeah, okay. So you know what I mean. And sometimes that means we're, you know, a little bit edgy when that comes out. But when we do it in love, okay, God wants to use you as an influencer within your culture. We got to put the devil on notice. My God is a holy God. My God is that can change anything. He can change your present situation. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But He's looking for you to be a people of action. Jesus saw faith in them old boys who tore that roof off. He realized that they knew if they could just get him down to where he was at, everything was going to change. And they knew it. I cannot imagine how excited them boys were when they tore that roof off. Or how angry the guy was that owned the house. I'm just saying. Hey, it was going both ways in that moment. There was something wasn't spiritual, something wasn't. But faith is believing that God can change the natural to the supernatural. You see what I'm saying? Hebrews 11:1 says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Okay, let's translate that for you so you understand what it's saying. Seeing is not believing. Now you may think it is, okay, and that's the way a lot of us live. We like, if I can see it, I'll believe it. Seeing is not believing. Believing leads to seeing. Because believing says, I'm going to step out in faith and I'm anticipating what God is going to do. Now, you look at any great move of God. It didn't happen because people were waiting for God to show up. And when God shows up, well, we're going to do something. No. They moved out in action. They moved out in faith. And when they took that step of faith and they said, you know what, God, I'm going to step outside my comfort zone. And you know what happens when we do that? God shows up. He goes, he looks over at his father. He goes, Dad, would you look at him? He's stepping out in faith. She's stepping out in faith. She believes what my word says. In this moment, they're stepping out. They're going to lay their hands on that person and believe for a miracle. You know what? I'm going to match their faith. I'm going to touch that person. And a divine miracle is going to take place because I see in them, I perceive their heart is right. It is so easy for you and I to look at our current situation and accept that this is just the way it is. But God wants you to see the supernatural, to move in faith and action. Because we are hashtag better together, church. As a church, when we move out as a single body and we work together for the kingdom of God and for His good, like this man's friends, they realized that if they would do something crazy, God was just crazy enough to show up. He is. Because you know what? Your Heavenly Father loves you. A lot of us spend our whole life trying to avoid sinning. And that is not what the book tells us that we're here to do. We're supposed to spend our life living for Him. Because you know what? If you spend your life living for Him, you don't have time to live in sin. Now, is that a revelation for you this morning? Maybe you have spent your life trying to avoid doing the wrong thing when God is saying, why don't you just seek me first, seek the kingdom of God. Somebody said that. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. Now, the concept of that also, I want you to see, is that when we move towards the Father, what happens? Our minds change, our hearts change, our trajectory changes, and we are less easy to succumb to those former weaknesses because we are about the Father's business. And that changes everything for us. Folks, we are better together. No one should fight alone. We need friends of God our back. We need people that are there for us through the thick and the thin. People that will pray for us. People who have their eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith. We need supernatural heroes in our lives. People that stand beside us and will help us through this journey. Our culture is looking for a real Jesus. They're tired of hearing about religion, about rules, about structure. They want to know if God cares. You know what? When I was living away from God, I knew I was a hot mess. You didn't have to tell me. But sometimes, don't take me wrong, sometimes as a church we get so hung up on wanting to tell people how messed up their lives are that we don't take the moment to hear their heart and know that they are broken and they just need somebody who will listen, who cares about them, who will pray with them, who will impact their lives. Here's what I know. Okay? I have not had the privilege, or whatever you want to call it, to be in full-time ministry in a church, and that was my only job. What God has done in my life over and over again is He has kept me working in the culture. And there were moments where I asked God, why can I not just have a full-time position? And when I worked in mental health, He just coming back to me time and time again, as you do it under the least of these, you do it under me. And I would ask Him again and again. He kept coming back to me. I was like, okay, God, I get it. I get it. Life is ministry, not this. Life is your ministry. Church. We come here to be encouraged, to receive God's word, that our lives can be impacted, empowered, to live it out there. The world's looking for what you're going to do out there. They care a whole lot less about what happens in here. They want to know when the rubber hits the road, are you real? They're looking for a people of purpose and passion that could truly change the way that they see life. We need people like that in our culture that will speak into our lives because we need people of faith and power and determination. I want to begin to draw this to a close for you this morning. One of the things I thought about this morning is that Jesus said that we are to be a light in a lost and a dark world. So here's the thing. We have been called to be a light to the world, you and I. Now, have you ever noticed that darkness does not dispel light, but light dispels the darkness? He's called you to be a light in a world that is very dark. But first, he wants to do work in you so that you can do work in the world in which you are called to be in. Because your ministry isn't about these four walls. This is a place where God will change lives, where people will be discipled, they will learn how to live out their faith, and they will go out and they will live it in the culture. Because here's what I noticed when I read the Bible. The Bible says that Jesus was a friend of sinners. When's the last time somebody accused you of that? Ouch. Yeah. I don't know when the last time somebody accused me of that either. So what's that mean? Jesus is a friend of sinners. They said he was a glutton and he was a drunkard and he hung out with tax collectors. It'd be like the IRS today, I guess. Sorry if you work for IRS. there is a perception. But Jesus said, I came to heal the sick. I didn't come to heal the religious. So there was three types of people in the story today, and I want you to think about this. Because he's called you to be a light. Now, as we think about these three people in the story, we had the friends who were people of determination and people of action. We had the man I named Thomas, the paralytic, who's on the mat, and he's questioning whether or not this is a good idea. And some of us, we're in that position. We question whether or not what God wants us to do is a good idea. We're missing it. Or are we the third person in the room? Are we the religious people that we are so hung up in the structure and the rules and the way things have always been that we miss what God wants to do? What God is calling you to be is a light. He wants you to be a light in a very dark culture. He wants you to be his hands and to be his feet. And this morning, as we begin to draw this to close, as our musicians come forward, I believe God wants to do something in and through your life. Because here's the thing I notice in this story, and I notice in so many stories with Jesus. When he fed the 5,000, Jesus could have just blessed the food, and the people could have come all up to a buffet table and ate. Wouldn't that have been easier? But you know what Jesus did? He had his disciples feed the people. And why did he do that? Because you and I, God wants you to know this, you and I get to be a part of the divine. We are partners with God. He wants to do miracles in our midst. And it doesn't have to happen just through a deacon. You just have to be a believer and have faith and determination that God will do anything he says he'll do. Here's what I know today. I know there are people here today that have brokenness in their lives. And you need friends that will climb up on a ladder. And they'll say, you know what? Nothing is going to get between you and God because I got your back. We need people like that. And so we're going to have an opportunity this morning as we enter into the presence of God for him to do the divine in your life. God wants the light that he's placed in you to illuminate the darkness in your culture and for people to see something genuine in you. But step number one in our lives comes with our consecrating ourselves before God, because before any great revival, we have found that we as a people must humble ourselves and pray and seek his face. And he says, and then I will hear from heaven. So I'm inviting you this morning. We're going to move into a short corporate prayer together as a church. That if there are things in our life that are an obstacle, if we have been the wrong person in that story, that God would change our position today. If there's sin in your life, if you have anger against somebody, and maybe they're here today, you may need to go. In fact, I'm going to say you'll need to go and apologize to them for holding that in your heart. That's biblical. Jesus said, if you go before the altar and you're getting ready to present a gift, and you know you've got an issue between you, especially a brother or sister in Christ, he says, go take care of that first. Okay? There's a positional thing that happens in God's kingdom. He wants our heart right with him, and our hearts really need to be right with people. Because if your heart isn't right with people, your heart cannot be right with God. Because he said this, how can you love me if you don't love your brother? So I don't know where your heart is today. And we're not going to sneak into God's kingdom. But this morning, let's invite him. Father, as we come before you this morning, we come as a people, God, in a land that is broken. There are fissures in the land. There's this brokenness and this evil that's coming up in the culture of the United States. And we are hearing time and time again, God, of mass shootings. It is evidence, God, of the present evil of the age that's risen up in the hearts and lives of people. God, I am tired of hearing about students in the city that I live in committing suicide. And God, this past week, another young man took his life. My heart breaks for the families, God. But God, you know there are hearts and lives that are represented here today. People that have brokenness in their lives and things, God, that are between us and you. And so, God, today we say as a people, Father, forgive us. Cleanse our hearts. Make us new in you. Maybe this morning you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, and now is your opportunity to make your way up to the altar. You don't have to sneak into God's kingdom. We're going to pray with you, and God is going to bring you into his kingdom because he loves you. Nobody's going to judge you. So if that's you this morning, if you know that you've never even made that commitment, please come forward. I want to pray with you. And as a church, if you'll humble yourself in this moment and say, God, change my heart. I want to be that person of determination and of action. God, forgive me where I've missed those moments. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Church, as I was preparing for this moment, God began to speak into my heart some very specific things. Because he wants you to position yourself this morning for battle. I believe there's someone here today that you're crushed under the weight of a family member or loved one that doesn't know Jesus. And I know what that feels like. Okay? I've been a pastor for many years, and I've said to God, even if my children don't serve you, I will. Because I got two boys that are running wild. Their hearts are not right. It breaks my heart every day. But I know when I've been alone with God, and I've been writing in my journal, he told me he'd bring them home. And I don't know when it's going to happen. And I get impatient sometimes. And maybe that's where you are right now. You're getting impatient with God. You don't know why it is the way it is, but I want you to know God cares. And so if that's you this morning, if you have someone you love and they're away from God, I want you to stand this morning. It's breaking your heart. And it should. It breaks my heart. If you've got someone in your life you know is away from Jesus and you want to see that change, stand. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to minister to one another today. I want you to gather around. I want you to begin to reach out to that person that's close to you. I want you to begin to pray and agree with them for God to do a miracle. Would you do that right now? Okay? You need to be a part of the miracle. You need to step out. You need to find someone and begin to pray with them. Okay? God wants to do something incredible here today, and he wants you to be an extension of that miracle. I believe that today. Don't let anyone fight alone. If you see someone standing there and no one's praying over them, I want you to go to them right now. Come on, church. I'm asking you to step outside your box. We need to minister to one another today. We need to believe right now in this moment for God to move in our midst. Right now. Right now. God, as we come before you today, God, our children, our loved ones, family members that are separated from you. We know that the thief comes but to steal and to kill and destroy. But your word says that you came to give us life in abundance. And so, God, we speak against the darkness. We speak against it. We bind the hands of the strong man because we have authority in the name of Jesus to bind our enemy. And so right now in this moment, we're not going to let fear overcome us, God. We're stepping out in faith and we're saying, God, we are lowering these family members through the roof. We're going to tear the roof off this morning, God, because we know you'll move on our behalf. You love our sons, our daughters, our family members, our friends. And so, God, as we pray in a unified manner, anointing one another in prayer right now, God, we believe you for a miracle. Right now. Right now. God, as we weep before you, we believe, God, for you to do what only you can do. Set them free. Set them free. Set them free, Father. God, put people in their path that will speak faith and life into them and let them be set free. God, those that are struggling in bondage, God, to drugs or alcohol that are represented in these families right now, begin to set them free, Father, right now. Set them free. Set them free. God, whatever they're engaged in that has torn their heart from you, we bind it in the name of Jesus. We believe you, God, for miracles, for miracles, for miracles, God, right now, God, right now, God, in this moment.